We're going to go to the scripture, Matthew chapter 27. Is that still there? Okay. Starting with verse 1. Now, we've already read the scripture where they run to the tomb and the tomb's empty. And just like a good television show where they have flashbacks, we're having a flashback right now. We're going back to Good Friday. When morning came, all mornings aren't the same, are they? When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he, Jesus, had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, you know how you do that when, or as Matt always does, or used to do. That means, or as Diane does, you know what this means? That's a W, and that means whatever. And I probably shouldn't show the kids this. Judas goes to the chief priests and the elders, and he says, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? You deal with it. You see to it. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. But the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful to put them in the treasury because they are, it's blood money. And they consulted together and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore that land has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of him who was priced, whom they of the children of Israel priced, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me. And may God add his blessing to the reading, the hearing of his holy word. I probably did more study than usual this year on the time leading up to Good Friday and Easter. As a matter of fact, I mean, last Sunday I preached about Palm Sunday, obviously, because it was Palm Sunday, but the Sunday before that, I talked about Jesus, his 3 years of ministry, and you who were here might remember that. And I talked about my 3 years of ministry here. We've been here pretty soon. We'll just be finishing our third year. And how fast 3 years goes and how fast it must have gone for Jesus. He arrives on the scene and 3 years goes like that, right? I saw Josh Manti coming in. 3 years ago, Josh was 2 feet shorter than he is now. And I've done a lot of reading and study leading up to this. And if you get into the Bible, God's going to reward that. Let me just bear witness to that. If you get into his word, he's going to reward you. And the difficult thing about reading the Bible is that we read, like downstairs we read the scripture, and at first it says 30 pieces of silver, and then later it says he threw the silver on the ground. And as I was reading the scripture, I read he threw the 30 pieces of silver on the ground. The 30 pieces wasn't there this time, but I inserted it because we know what it says, and it's difficult when we go to the scripture already knowing what it says because we don't hear it fresh. And so this past week, it was just so amazing for me. Something that I picked up reading the scripture that I'd never read before, or at least never comprehended it, and I've never heard preached before. You see, I always knew that Judas threw Jesus under the bus. He betrayed Jesus, and I knew that. I knew that Judas couldn't live with what he'd done, and he took his own life. And I've heard it preached so many times. And this is like one for anybody who would suffer from depression. Or I remember this one episode of, what was that movie? Psych. Or that show. That show Psych, if everybody remembers that. If you ever get to see it on reruns, it's a great show. And I remember the black guy, what was his name? It doesn't matter. I remember one time, Gus. I remember one time Gus saying, low moment, low moment. Like, don't overreact, it's just a low moment. And I've heard it preached, if Judas had just, this is a pun intended, if Judas had just hung in there for 3 days, Jesus would have been alive to forgive him. I've heard that preached, and I've probably preached it. And it's a good word for people who just, some of you just need to hear today, hang in there. Because you never know what Jesus is going to do in 3 days. Amen? You don't know what he's going to do tomorrow. Hang in there. And that's a good word for some people today. But I've got, and that's the word that I've heard preached a lot. If they could say anything to Judas, I would say, Judas, just hang in there for 3 days. I've got better advice than that. You see, this past week, it just occurred to me that Jesus wasn't dead yet when Judas took his own life. Now, what scholars think is that Judas, he never intended for them to kill Jesus. Scholars believe that what was on Judas's mind, and you can take this for what it's worth, I sort of tend to agree with this train of thought, that Judas wanted to overthrow Rome in that area. Judas thought, this isn't going as I planned. Over the last 3 years, as I've been skimming money, I mean, taking care of the money, I saw this going differently. I thought we were saving that money so we could buy weapons and swords and we would be able to overthrow the authorities. And it's not looking like it's going in that direction. So if I turn Jesus in, his hand will be forced. You kids, I'm going to teach you something right now. You ever heard, adults, you know the phrase, paint yourself into a corner. Young people, you don't know what that means. Peyton, you ever heard the phrase, paint yourself into a corner? Well, as you grow up, you're going to hear this phrase. And what it means is, if you were going to paint a room, a bedroom, and this bedroom had one door as you go in, you don't start painting at the door and work your way back in the room as you're painting, if you're painting the floor. Why would you not do that? You see what I'm saying? You start at the doorway and you paint the floor and you paint and it's looking so pretty and you stand and admire it, and then eventually you get back here. And there's a wall here, and there's a wall here, and you're in the corner, and that's all wet paint. You didn't even leave yourself near the window. That's called painting yourself into a corner. You get yourself in a position that you can't get out of. And so what the scholars say is that Judas was trying to get Jesus painted into a corner so that he would have to call people to arms. Because he's going to go to the cross if he doesn't. And these disciples didn't comprehend it yet. And so Judas, thinking he's helping things out, and I'm going to speed things along because I know Jesus is going to call people to arms, and so I'll get him arrested, I'll turn him over, he'll call us to arms. we'll get the swords, we'll get the weapons, and then we will go free him, and we will chew bubble gum and do what Arnold Schwarzenegger says. And he's out of bubble gum. And then when things didn't go as Judas planned, he sees what's going to happen. He understands that Jesus isn't going to call in the cavalry. He's not going to call a legion of angels. Judas is going, "I've seen you perform all these miracles. Do something, man, do something." And Jesus is just not even speaking up for himself. He's going to go to the cross. And now Judas is just overcome with grief. And he does the right thing, but he's talking to the wrong person. He does the right thing, but he goes to the wrong people. Go back to the scripture. When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people, whenever I see chief priests and elders, whenever I see the word Pharisees, I always think of me and Danny Twigg, who's the pastor at Graceland Baptist Church, and Merle Christner, who's the pastor at the Pinto Mennonite Church, and Sarah Lamb, who's the pastor at Fort Ashby. Always think of us. Because if this was written today, we are the chief priests and the elders. And so I always put myself into that spot. When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of, and it's never a good thing. It's not a good group to be in. It's just like at sunrise service this morning. There's third row, preacher, preacher, preacher. And I looked at the guy to the left of us and I said, "You decided to sit in sinner's row today, huh?" And he said, "This is my seat. I always sit here." That's exactly what he said. I said, "Well, we've made it sinner's row today." When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that Jesus had been condemned, was remorseful. He was sorry. And he brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. And he said, "I have sinned." I'm getting cold chills right now. Do you see what's going on here? He's doing the right thing. "I'm sorry. I'm asking for forgiveness. I have sinned. I have betrayed Jesus." And they say, "Big whoop." That's the Scott translation. "Big deal. What do we care? We got no sympathy for you." "Go hang yourself." Wasted words for Judas, wasn't it? And here's what hit me this week. Jesus was still alive. We read later in chapter 27 that Pilate brings out Jesus and he brings out Barabbas. And I so wanted to have one person at the back of the church yell something today during a point in the sermon, but I didn't arrange it. He brings out Jesus, he brings out Barabbas. And when Pilate is talking, it's as quiet as it is here right now. You hear a sniffle. You hear a cough. You might even hear some breathing next to you. And if Judas had just gone there, he could have yelled from the back of the crowd, "Jesus, forgive me!" What do you think Jesus would have done? Thank you, Leah. From the mouths of babes, Jesus, there is no doubt in my mind. I know all the woe to the man who betrays me, and I know all that scripture. There is no doubt in my mind, if Judas had said what he said to the chief priest, to Jesus, Jesus would have said, Son, I'm going to see you in paradise. Is there any doubt in your mind? He would have forgiven him. He'll forgive anybody for anything. And then, as poetically as I can write, I wrote this, O Judas, you went to the wrong place for forgiveness. O Judas, why did you not go to Jesus? You could have yelled from the crowd when Pilate was asking which prisoner the people wanted freed, and he would have heard you and surely forgiven you. O Judas, I weep for what could have been. You could have been the best redemption story in the Bible. Because Jesus will forgive anything. Man, just imagine Judas. He would have been writing books about forgiveness. Instead of the prayer of Jabez out of the Bible, you would be praying the prayer of Judas. He would have been on the speaking tour in Jerusalem. He would have been preaching at teen rallies all over Israel. And he took his grief, his remorse, to the wrong place. Oh man, what a sermon today, huh? You all have needs. You have a need for forgiveness. You have a need to be affirmed. You seek joy in places that only bring heartbreak. I was watching this episode. I wasn't watching it. Lord, forgive me. Diane was watching it. This episode, you know the Duggars, right? And some people love them, some people hate them. They have like 600 kids and counting. All from this one woman. It's like a modern day miracle. How many kids they have? 19. And you've heard of Josh Duggar. Some of you have heard of Josh Duggar. He got into quite a bit of trouble, and he was unfaithful to his wife. And I heard, I wasn't sitting there to watch it, but I like spending time with Diane. That's my manly story. And I heard Josh Duggar's wife, Josh Duggar, who had been unfaithful, I heard him last night, or I heard his wife last night say, I'm going to see Josh today. He's been in Christian counseling for 90 days, and I haven't seen him. And I don't know if this marriage is going to work out, and a lot of people say I should leave him, but I made my promise to God in this marriage. And then secondly, I made the promise to Josh. And I heard her say, I don't know what words she used, I heard her say that if God wants me out of this marriage, I'll leave this marriage. And if God wants me to stay, I'll stay. She's not finding her affirmation, her satisfaction. Don't you think she'd probably rather say, "Boo, I'm out of here." That's what Diane always says. One time, buddy. She doesn't very often do the head bob, but you ask her about that. One time, buddy. Josh Duggar's wife says, I don't even find my joy in him. I mean, my joy is in the Lord. I made a promise to the Lord. I look to the Lord. I look to the Lord for guidance. Lord, would you have me stay with this unfaithful man, or would you have me leave him? she could start doing drugs. I'm going to stay with them, but I'm going to do drugs just to help me through this. She's looking to the Lord. It's the invitation for every one of you today. The tomb was empty. The sins were paid for on the cross. Death died on this day for those who have faith, for those who go to Jesus. You can go to Muhammad or you can go to Buddha, and it's just like going to the Pharisees and the whoever those religious people were. You don't come to me to confess. You go to Him to confess. You go right to Him. And you don't come to me for affirmation. You don't go to Facebook for affirmation. Young people, hear me. It's so sad that sometimes I just like everybody's stuff just so it makes them feel better. And I'm probably just contributing to the problem. It doesn't matter if nobody likes your Facebook post. The question is, does Jesus like it? I'm sure people get sick of my Facebook posts. Jesus likes it. He tells me. We don't find our worth by what other people think of us. Can you imagine if I found my worth as a pastor by what everybody in the congregation says, or behind my back, or when they go out and talk in the community? Can you imagine if I found my worth in that? Where do I find my worth? In Him. I'm obedient to Him. I want to follow Him. He died for me. And what I heard this morning at Easter sunrise, and I'm going to close with this in a video, what I heard this morning at Easter sunrise was that when you become a child of God, when Christ comes to live in you, He comes to live in you until you go to live with Him. Isn't that good? I mean, everybody who's a Christian knows this, but to hear it put in these words, He comes to live in you until you go to live with Him. And today, the offer is available to every one of you, the same offer that was available to Judas, and Judas didn't take the offer. Come to Jesus. I said sometime this morning, I said, man, if that song had only been written, turn your eyes upon Jesus, and maybe Judas would have been humming that song to himself. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim, right? In light of His glory and grace. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this message today, that forgiveness, that You just, like the seed that the sower scatters in the Bible, and some of it falls on rocky soil and some of it falls on good soil, and Lord, Your grace, You are extravagantly abundant with Your grace, and You will forgive anything. Sometimes, just like with the Duggar people, it's going to take some work on our part to make things right with another person, but it just takes confession to make things right with You, and that's so amazing. And when Judas went and confessed, oh God, that he would have just come and confessed to Jesus. And so I pray that today, that every person in here knows that they are beloved by You, that Your Son Jesus did die for them, and that You are willing to forgive them of their sin if they just confess to You. Lord, forgive me, for I am a sinner. Lord, I believe that Christ died on the cross to pay for my sins. And I believe that You will forgive me, and I'm asking. And I pray that You will send Your Spirit to live in me until that day that You call me to come live with You. And send me out of here as Your child today, renewed. Not believing when I leave here what the enemy says, that you didn't really get saved. And God, for those of us who already call ourselves Your children, I pray that day by day that You would help us to live victorious lives, not live like we're defeated and not looking for affirmation or joy in all the wrong places, but looking to you, the perfecter of our faith. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. And this is actually what we're going to end with today. That right there.
Had such an amazing impact on my heart. You know, not only in its lyrical content, but then when I heard the story behind it, it really changed the way I looked at the song. There was a pastor in Ohio who had a heart surgeon that went to his church. But one of the things that this pastor wanted to do was he wanted to see a heart surgery take place. And when the day of the surgery came, they rolled the patient in, and they began to cut her chest cavity open. They took her heart out, and they began to repair it. One of the things they do is they have to restart the heart again before they close the chest cavity. And as they began to do the procedures to start the heart wouldn't start. Finally, the doctor did something so out of textbook and not written down. It's just something that you really don't do. And he got down on his knees. He said, "Mrs. Johnson, this is your doctor. He said, we have fixed your heart. We have repaired it. There's nothing wrong with your heart. Mrs. Johnson, if you can hear me, I need you to tell your heart to beat again." And her heart began to beat. And why do I share this story with you? Because the great physician has fixed your heart and my heart. But I find it interesting that sometimes we allow the voice of the enemy to whisper louder than the voice of our Father. And it seems like some of these voices tell us that, you know what, that situation we'll never recover from. And what that person did, we can never forgive again. But I'm here to let you know that you can forgive again. You can get back up again. You can move forward with your life. And you don't have to walk with a limp. It's simply like this doctor said to this lady. This lady had to come into agreement. The heart was repaired. God has fixed your problem. Your heart is fixed. But you have to come in agreement with God. You know, I look at my story, and I look at how I went through loss and how I had to get myself back up. When I look at the pain of my past, it doesn't sting like it used to. But I look back and I see, look what the Lord has done. And I know God wants to do the same for you. I want you to begin to hope again. He wants you to believe again. He wants you to trust again. The great physician, our Father, through Jesus, wants you to tell your heart to beat again.
Say goodbye. Thank you.